Now, friends, keep your Bibles open on that passage of God's Word. Here is a unique account of the death of this unique servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last verses of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 7 gives the account of the death of Stephen and that first Christian martyr of the New Testament times. We find Stephen's name among the seven original deacons in the Jerusalem church. And that is the first mention of this man and his name. As well as serving as a deacon, Stephen was a gifted preacher of the gospel. He, as you read this account in chapter 6 and chapter 7, you hear his preaching, what kind of a man he was, how anointed he was by the Spirit of God, and how the Lord blessed his ministry, and how people were converted, and people were stirred up to seek the Lord. God clearly blessed and anointed this man in his short service that he had for the Lord Jesus Christ. How he called on people to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he blessed the church and served the local church, and he preached to sinners alike. And thus, from the brief biographical detail that we have of Stephen, there is no doubt that he was a unique servant of God. He must have been a very religious and studious man before he believed and trusted in Christ, because he knew so much of the Bible. That's why we believe he was a very religious man before. He knew so much of the Bible and could recite scripture after scripture. We didn't read that portion in Acts chapter 7, but it is filled with scripture and allusions to the Word of God in the Old Testament and the details of the history of God's dealings with the nation of Israel. The record itself of Stephen's death is unique in the way even how Christians die. It is unique in that it is the only full account of the death of a New Testament believer. We have mentioned of the death of a few others of the Christians in the New Testament. We have those in the Word of God, but the details are very brief. The Lord Jesus Christ, for example, told Peter about the way he was to die, but when it comes to it, his actual passing is not recorded. Sometimes the book of Acts informs us of various attempts that were made upon the life of the Apostle Paul, but the book closes with Paul still living and his ministry continuing into future days. In his letters, he refers to his dying, and especially in his final letter, 2 Timothy, but he reveals absolutely nothing about his actual dying from this world. When the Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, he was an old man himself, a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. Yet, how he died and what the circumstances were are all passed over in silence. Thus, search the New Testament and you will find that it is Stephen's death only that is recorded in its detail. And for that reason, this account is unique. And for that reason, we would expect that it has a lot to teach us. It has something special, certainly, to teach us today. And that is what we find in verse 59 of Acts chapter 7. That is going to be our text. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God. This is Stephen calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Listen to those words of Stephen. "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." That forms the dying words and the prayer upon the dying lips of Stephen. It's a prayer that reveals some truths that Stephen knew and recognized to be the utmost importance. There are truths that you and I ought to know, and we ought to recognize and embrace to yours and mine eternal well-being. Thus, the vital issue is not only that Stephen died praying, rather it was what he prayed that we should think about. Lord Jesus, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. His words open this entire record of his death. And by his prayer, he brings us to see into the meaning of what this passage must tell us about the vital gospel truths that saves people's souls. In other words, what Stephen says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. It is the climax of the victorious death that he died. You see, Stephen died in Christ. He believed on Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of his life. He died trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. His dying prayer so has much to teach us. So here are words with which to die. What words will be on your lips? What words will be on my lips when we die? What would you say? What would you sigh? What would you really pray? Will we consider these things, my friends? Will you consider the words of Stephen this morning? Well, this is what we want to think about. And there are two things I want to say from the words of Stephen. First of all, these are words of committal. And secondly, these are words of confidence. So first, these are words of committal. And secondly, it's the words of confidence. So let us think about these things. Here are the words of our text. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. These are words of committal and commendation. Stephen prays that the Lord Jesus Christ would receive his spirit, which means that he committed his spirit into Jesus' care. He committed his soul into the arms of the Savior. So he's praying this prayer, committing and commending his soul into the saving and keeping hand of Jesus Christ. Friends, the Bible teaches that at death, the spirit or the soul of true Christians, those true believers, are received by Jesus Christ. That's the promise of the Word of God. That's the reality of what happens to a Christian man or a Christian woman or a Christian child. And young person, they are received by Jesus Christ. Also, the Bible says, for example, in Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, of the spirits of just men made perfect. The spirit of just men made perfect. And the scene in Hebrews 12 is heaven. It's heaven in terms of Mount Zion is mentioned. The city of the living God is mentioned. The heavenly Jerusalem is mentioned. God, the judge of all, is mentioned. And Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament or the New Covenant, is mentioned there. But in the passage there is this reference to the spirits of just men made perfect. Who are these people? Well, these are the Old Testament believers, the Old Testament saints. Those who died trusting in the Messiah, in the coming Messiah who would come, who would be born of the Virgin, they were trusting in Jesus Christ who would be coming, and they had passed on. They had died in the faith, and their spirits had all been received by the Lord. And you read again of them in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, where John says that this is what he saw in Revelation 6 and verse 9. I saw the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. He sees the soul of these people who were slain, who had been put to death because of the word of God. Because they trusted in the word of God, believed it, and preached it and lived it. These people in heaven are in the presence of Jesus. And it is in the light of these scriptures that we understand the various passages come to light for us. And passages like this in Philippians 1 verse 23, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." That makes sense now, that these souls of believers are with Christ right now, which is far better. Or you have the words in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, "We are confident," the Apostle Paul says, "we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So after Christians die, as it was in the heart of Stephen, and he prayed for it, and he committed his soul to the Lord, after Christians die, they are in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he prays, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." So we learn a number of things from this. We learn that at death, the spirit is severed from the body. That's one of the things that we learn from the Bible, that our spirit at death is severed, is cut from our body. So this is what it says in the next chapter, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 2, we read this about the body of Stephen. It says, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him." Here is his body only, because his spirit has already left, and his spirit is now with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, see, the complete person is not buried. Only the body is buried. They lift up the body that was now dead, and they bury him. The spirit of Stephen went to heaven and was not buried with the body. And yet there are some people falsely believe that when a person dies, either their spirit just is annihilated and is vanished and is gone and there is nothing after death. And there are people who say, well, the spirit and the body, they are both buried in the grave. Well, that's not true. The Bible teaches us, for example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, these words: "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." The spirit returns to God who gave it. And thus, in nature, death is a severing, is a disjointing between the spirit and the body. And this is what we find in the Bible, many, many places in the Word of God. So, for example, when in Genesis chapter 25 and verses 7 through to 9, there Abraham was gathered to his people at this point of giving up the ghost, or giving up his spirit, dying, the departure of his soul from the body, so that this giving up of the soul or the spirit was its being gathered to be with the saints, with his people. It means with the saints who had died before. And when his sons buried him, that is, his body was buried, which was devoid of his spirit, that was buried. The same takes place in the case of those who die not trusting in Jesus Christ. The same kind of a thing happens to non-Christians, unbelievers, atheists, or people of all kinds of religions. This same thing happens. The severing of the soul from the body happens, and the soul goes on to live, and the body is buried, and is got rid of, and the body is destroyed. And this same happens both with Christians and non-Christians. With the Christian, the separation that takes place, that the soul goes to be with Jesus in heaven. But we find for the non-Christians, for those who do not trust in Christ, who have not been saved by the grace of God, their soul goes before the judgment of God and is cast into hell. It is a fearful subject, but it is true. You find this in this separation of the soul and the body of unbelievers in the account given regarding Ishmael in Genesis chapter 25 and verses 17 and 18. You have the death of Ishmael. who was an ungodly man. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, we read, and 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. Ishmael, as far as we know, he wasn't a believer, as the scripture shows, but his soul departed from his body, and nothing could stop that. Nothing could stop it. People are so fearful today, and they try their best so that they might live. But when death comes, nothing and no one can stop that. See the closing words of verse 18 of Genesis 25, where we read, "He fell in the presence of his brethren." That's what literally is. He fell in the presence of his brethren. Or he died in the presence of his brethren. And another thing that we learn from those words of Stephen, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." We learn that the spirit of people is taken at death. And this means that it lives on. The spirit lives on. That's what we mean, what we get out of this prayer. That he was assured that his soul will live on. The soul of Stephen was received by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it means that it continues on to enjoy existing and life beyond this world. Yes, his body was battered and bruised because of the stoning, but his soul was rejoicing in the presence of God. And this truth is shown in other parts of the Bible. For example, the Apostle Peter says in the Bible, in 2 Peter, in his second epistle, in chapter 1 and verses 13 through to 15, he says this, "As long as I am in this tabernacle," he refers to his body as his tabernacle or tent, "knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. After my decease," then he goes on to speak of. And these are remarkable words. Peter says, "I am in this tabernacle," or this tent. This tent, this tabernacle, as I said, is his body. And he says that he was in that body. That is, his soul or spirit was in it. Then in verse 14 of that same passage, he refers to putting off this tabernacle, something of which the Lord Jesus Christ had spoken to him about. And so, he's speaking of his death, and he speaks about his decease. That word decease that is used when it's referred to in the Bible of death, and at times we use it in our common uses as well, the deceased person. It literally means to go out. The deceased, it means to go out. So he's referring to the event in which he would put off his tabernacle, his body, and he will go out of this world. That is, his spirit would go out of this world to be with Christ. If you were to look up Luke's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 31, the same word is used of the Lord Jesus Christ's death, of his decease. His spirit went out of his body unto his Father. So truly, then, the spirit lives on. The spirit of Christians, those who are saved, and also the spirit of non-Christians, those who are atheists, those who are not saved. The spirit lives on. The issue, the question is, where will it live on? And Peter goes on to speak in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. He speaks about those who die and who perished. At the time of the flood, they perished and went to a prison. That is in hell. And there is no annihilation in the Bible. There is no teaching of annihilation, that God simply destroys the soul after death. That's not the teaching of the Bible. These lost spirits are in prison house of hell, and they are suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, which Jude tells us in Jude and verse 7. My friend, this is a fearful thing when we talk about these things. We don't speak of them lightly. We don't try to make people be scared or put pressure on people. But my friend, when the teaching of the Word of God comes to us, and if you're not converted, the question must come to you, where will your precious soul go when it is separated from your body? Where will it go now? So that's the first thing that I wanted you to remember from these words of Stephen. Lord, he says, Lord, lay not this. Or Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he cries out and he says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. So he commits his soul into the hand of the Savior. Oh, that we would at the hour of our death be able to pray like this and to be able to commit and commend our soul into the hands of the Lord Jesus. But that leads me to the second point, and that is this, that these are the words of confidence. Here is not a fearful man. Here is not a weak man. Here is not a man who is uncertain. But these are the words of confidence. His petition was, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. It could also be read, Lord Jesus, accept or take my spirit. And this is what happened. You see, Christ himself would have received and taken Stephen into the heavenly glory. And there are a number of things that we learn from this. That Christ receives and Christ takes and Christ saves and keeps. Christ received Stephen because he had redeemed him. He had saved Stephen. That's a critical point to remember. You see, Stephen is reciting in his dying point. He's reciting a word from the Old Testament, from the Psalms. The Psalms are going through his mind and prayers are formed and his heart's cry are the words of the Scripture. And he refers it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's saying here is actually a quotation from Psalm 31 and verse 5, that our Lord Jesus Christ also prayed when he was on the cross. So we see here something of Stephen's Christ-likeness. But this is the wording of Psalm 31 that leads us to see that Jesus Christ only receives those whom he had redeemed. In Psalm 31 and verse 5 we read, Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Here is the original words of these words that Stephen uses. They are the psalmist words. But listen, there are other words that follow that verse, in that verse. And this is the extra statement. It's not just that receive my spirit or I commit my spirit, but it says thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. It speaks about redemption, buying back, paying a price for his soul. Redemption, you see, is what our soul needs. Redemption is what we need. The point is that the reception of the believer's spirit, the reception of our soul into glory and into heaven is based upon our redemption. Have we been saved? Have we been given that salvation through Jesus Christ? And that's a fact that Stephen knows, and that gives him his confidence. That is why he prays to the Lord Jesus Christ to receive his spirit with these words. And that's why he, with confidence, then he prays for forgiveness of these men too. At his death, Stephen is looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as his redeemer to receive his soul. If you were to look at Luke's Gospel and chapter 23 and verse 46, if you turn to that passage, you see that in Luke 23 and verse 46, you see that the Lord Jesus Christ used these same words at his own death, his final cry from Calvary, it said this, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Jesus' mission, my friends, is now accomplished. Jesus' mission and aim was the redemption of sinners. And so the way home to heaven at death for poor guilty sinners like you and me, it's through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. What he suffered upon the cross, you must believe that. And you must make it yours. You must trust in him with all your heart. And you must repent of your sin and run to the Lord Jesus Christ and his promise to redeem us. That's our only hope in both life and death, is salvation through Jesus Christ. You will never get home to heaven any other way, my friends. And something else that we learn about these words of confidence is that Christ received Stephen because he had opened up heaven for him. The Lord Jesus Christ could only receive Stephen because he had already opened the way, opened up the door to heaven. In verse 55 of Acts chapter 7 that we read together, in verse 55, you read these words, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost," that is Stephen, he was full of the Holy Spirit, "looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Stephen, you see here, we are told he looked up towards heaven. He looked right into heaven and he saw the glory of God. And he saw something more than that. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God, standing for him, waiting for him. And he testifies of this in verse 56 and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." So it is to this Christ at the Father's right hand that Stephen makes his appeal and to whom his spirit is sent and is received. He saw that Jesus Christ had opened heaven for him. Now, as he comes to die, he is fully persuaded, he's fully confident that there was an entrance for him and that Christ would receive his spirit. And so he can pray with confidence. Do you remember? I'm sure you do. you know the promise that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to that man who was dying at his side. That man who died trusting only in him. And as he repented, that dying thief. You remember the words in Luke chapter 23 and verses 42 onwards. This dying thief said to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Again, he's confident in the Lord and he can appeal to the Lord Jesus in prayer. You see, that's a wonderful thing. We can go to the Savior directly. You don't need any kind of person. You don't need a priest. You don't need Mary. You don't need the church to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. You go directly to him and you cry to him in repentance and faith, and he receives us. Day by day, we pray to the Lord Jesus and he hears us. And that's what this man did. "Remember me, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." The thief got this promise from the Lord Jesus that on that very same day he would be with Christ in paradise, in heaven. Then listen to what happened afterwards. What happened next? In verse 44, "And it was about the sixth hour," we read, "and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour." So having given this promise to the thief, the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the 3 hours of darkness. That was the period when he endured God's wrath and when Jesus suffered for our sins and for our guilt, when he suffered hell for sinners like us. That's the period in which he was suffering. Then listen to what happened next in verse 45. "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple," that thick curtain in the temple that separated the people from the presence of God, it says that the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. It was ripped in the middle of it. And this dividing, this ripping of the veil, this curtain of the temple was a sign that Christ had secured an entrance into the presence of God. He has secured an entrance into heaven for us sinners. Then in verse 46 of that same passage, he yielded up his spirit and went to be with the Father in heaven. And thus, when the spirit of the thief later on went to paradise, it was to find that Christ had already gone in before him, having opened the way for him. Now Stephen is received because there is a way into heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear friends who are hearing my voice, you are hearing these words of Stephen, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Do you know what is the basis and the foundation of confidence at death? Do you know how it is that there are people like Stephen who die with confidence and assurance? It is Christ's full work, finished work for sinful men that is the basis of the confidence of being with him in glory when death comes. You see, this is the reality, that when we have taken hold of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and have recognized that it has been our sin that must be punished, and instead of us, Jesus Christ died on the cross, and you believe that, you repent of sin and turn away from it and seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he has promised to save us from our sin, and we must humble ourselves in that situation. We must abandon all other supposed hopes of being in heaven. It is the blessed work of Jesus Christ that gives an entrance within the veil of heaven into the presence of God. Let me give you, friends, in closing, from these words of Stephen, a challenge to you, my friends. What will your final words be? Will you say words to this effect? When you are dying with confidence, looking to Jesus Christ? Oh, my friends, those of you who are not saved, those of you who are still lost, those of you who are still seeking and wondering and are confused, seek the Lord Jesus Christ immediately. Trust in him with all your heart. Stephen's death and dying words, they're urging you to get to the Savior, to this Lord Jesus. You get to him for the saving of your own soul. Undoubtedly, Stephen's prayer had much to do with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. He was there, it says in verse 58. This is Saul of Tarsus, whose name became Paul, the Apostle Paul. And he would have heard this martyr's prayer, which would have been one of those pricks, one of those things that pricked his heart and went deep into his soul and brought about conviction to this proud Pharisee. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 5, we read the Lord Jesus Christ speaking that he can't kick against the pricks. It pricks of his conscience. Augustine, that early church minister, he said this, if Stephen had never prayed, Saul had never preached. And that is so true. What a witness you Christians may be in your dying hour to those people around you. What a witness this text is. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. What Saul saw and heard at Stephen's death helped to make the soil of his soul ready to receive the good seed. So there are two things that we have consider this morning from these words of Acts chapter 7 and verse 59. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. First, we said that these are words of committal, and secondly, these are words of confidence. And my dear friend, Stephen's words challenge you to rise up today and get right with God. Many people are dying around us, and fear grips people's hearts because they are not ready to die. Many people will speak words of terror at their dying hour, words of grief at their dying hour. More words of regret and words of confusion when they die. Don't let that be you. If you were to die today in full consciousness, what would your final words be, my friend? Do you fear that those words would be words of despair? Do you fear that those words would be words of terror and hopelessness? So, my friends, flee to the Savior, the Lord Jesus. Flee to Stephen's Savior and trust in Him. And what He will do, He will receive you at death. May God bless these words to us. Amen.